Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to discuss with you the all-sufficiency of Christ in saving grace. Now the subject is familiar to many, yet unknown by most. Confusion exists about it because of so much false teaching pertaining to it. For many, all that I can do is put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Grace is defined as unmerited favor, denoting the attitude and action of God on behalf of man that man could never earn nor deserve. God has done something for man that man could never do for himself or for any other man. Mankind is the recipient of what is beyond his ability to produce of himself. He has blessings and benefits, both in the physical and spiritual realm, that come from God. The grace under consideration is God's grace that saves man from the wages of sin. The need for this grace is evident inasmuch as man sins, and sin destroys. Man cannot save himself by himself, therefore he must have a Savior. And God has provided the Savior. And the one provided is his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. It is in the Scriptures that we learn of this Savior and the way to be saved. That we are saved by grace is an emphatic truth of the New Testament, written out in a number of passages. And without the grace of God, we could end the discussion of man's salvation right here. But how we rejoice in the declaration, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24. Now there is an antagonism between grace and sin, with grace being the superior. Romans 5 and verse 12 teaches how sin came into the world through Adam, and by one man sin entered into the world. All the briars and the thistles and the thorns, the sickness, the pain, the sorrow, the death, the jealousy, the hatred, and on, these are due to sin. And none have escaped the guilt of sin, except, of course, Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly. Sin is that barrier that we erect between ourselves and God. And yet God's grace, extended through Christ, is superior to sin. It covers sin, it removes sin, and the guilt of it. Romans 5 and 20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Through sin, we lost access to the tree of life. But through Christ, the gates of the eternal city, wherein is the tree of life, are open to us. Through sin, we die spiritually. But through Christ, we live spiritually. Through sin, we lost our physical bodies. But through Christ, we shall receive incorruptible spiritual bodies. Through sin, we're spiritually lost. But through Christ, we are saved. There is no sin that the grace of Christ cannot cover and blot out forever. There is no such thing as unpardonable sin when the conditions of forgiveness are met. But our salvation is not by grace alone. How sad that some so teach as to pervert the grace of God by contending that we're saved by grace alone. Such teachers are challenged even here to present the passage that so declares. It is never taught in Scripture. Words like only and alone have been applied to God's word by man to saving faith as well as to God's grace. It is a deadly thing, friend, to tamper with the revealed and inspired word of God. Now, if salvation was by grace alone, all would be saved, because the grace of God has appeared to all men, Titus 2:11. By God's grace, Christ tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. Therefore, if anyone was lost, it would be God's fault, not man's. If salvation was by grace alone, man would not be responsible for his spiritual destiny. And if any were saved, God would be a respecter of persons. The judgment would be a farce, since man could not do anything about his condition anyway. If salvation was by grace alone and some are lost, Would not this say that God's grace was not sufficient to save, even though we've already learned how grace covers all sin when correctly received? All sufficiency simply means lacking nothing, it's adequate, it's fully supplied, enough to meet the needs of the situation, that which does all that it is intended to accomplish. Now, the grace of God is all sufficient. There'll be some things that grace is not intended to accomplish. It will not cover sins without repentance. No sin is forgiven without obedience. Some trash obedience, as they falsely teach salvation by grace alone. This is one of the jarring errors of the liberal elements in the religious world, and at times they've even divided the church in our time. When we speak of the all-sufficiency of the grace of God, we're not saying grace is the only element included in God's system of grace. Grace is all-sufficient in the sense that it will accomplish what God has designed it to accomplish. My grace is sufficient for thee, the Lord told Paul when Paul prayed for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. Paul was promised the adequacy of God's provisions for him, enough for him to be strong and to overcome his adversaries and to have the ability to do his work. God's grace is sufficient to cover all of our sins when appropriated correctly. Now, grace is a major element in God's plan of salvation. And personally, I resent the charge some heretics are making against faithful preachers of the past and the present that we've not preached God's grace. Why do some feel they have to lie and misrepresent in order to promote their agenda? Is it not evident that they do this because their agenda is error? God has manifested his grace through Christ, and by what Christ did, and by what he taught, and by what he accomplished, and by what he offers. We cannot separate Christ from the grace of God. Without Christ, there is no system of salvation. Therefore, we conclude the all-sufficiency of Christ in saving grace. Now, we are aware that some scoff at the notion of God's part in our salvation, but scoff they may. It changes nothing. The system of salvation includes God sending his Son and the Son dying on the cross. This is the work of deity. This system includes the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. This is the work of deity. The system includes God's mercy and love for man. This is God's part in his provision for our salvation. But there's more to being saved than what deity has provided. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And in Luke 6:46, he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" When Peter told those on Pentecost to save themselves, he did not mean that they could save themselves by themselves, but that they had a part to play, and they had their part to do. There was the necessity of man's faith, the works of obedience, as is taught throughout the New Testament. And works of obedience, friend, are not works of merit. They're not works of which man can boast. They're certainly not the works of the Mosaic law. But some seem to have the attitude that God must save them by his grace regardless of what they do or fail to do. Well, friend, this is simply not so. God's system of grace includes law. The law of God has been provided. And there is no conflict between law and grace. There is the law of God, the law of faith, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the perfect law of liberty, the law of Christ. And this law demands obedience. Shall we assume that we can dismiss the necessity of obedience and still be saved? Friend, we're delivered from the law of Moses, but we're not delivered from all law. We're delivered from the law of sin and death, but not all law. You see, there are different kinds of faith, different kinds of works, different kinds of law. But remember, one element of God's system separated from the others will not produce salvation by itself. God has drawn his pattern to perfection, and we take it all, not any part to the exclusion of any other part. And grace can be rejected. In Galatians 2:21, it tells how we can frustrate the grace of God. In fact, some Galatians were doing that very thing by returning to and relying upon the Mosaic law. We can fail of the grace of God and not enjoy the benefits of that which God intends. We can even make the grace of God of none effect by falling from grace. You see, salvation is God's gift to man. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6 and verse 23. And because salvation is by grace, it is a gift. It's not earned, it's not merited, it's not deserved. But every gift has a giver, and every gift has a receiver. Man receives God's gift by meeting God's conditions. We in no way earn our gift when we are obedient. And no faithful brother is ever so taught, as some digressive apostates have charged. Man rejects the grace of God by not meeting God's conditions. Like the city of Jericho, which was a gift to Israel when they obeyed his plan, salvation is our gift when we obey his plan to save us. And for this reason, none of us have occasion to boast. What a glorious thought that we can be saved. How glorious is the truth that God's grace is universally offered and extends to all. Salvation, therefore, is open to whosoever will. We are all in need of salvation, and Christ tasted of death for every man. He forgives the sins of the whole world, and all will be saved the same way. This is why the gospel must be preached to every creature, so all can hear and obey by believing in Christ, repenting of sins, confessing their faith in Christ, and being baptized into Christ. And when you seriously consider man in his lost condition, and the glory and the majesty of God, it is a wonder that God offers to have fellowship with us. But by his grace through Jesus Christ, this bounty we can enjoy. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.